Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by the second annual Catskill Cuisine Festival. Visit catskill-cuisine.com to learn more and buy tickets.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Hello and welcome to Snacky Tune. I'm your host, Darren Bresnitz, and welcome to our 600th episode. I cannot believe that I'm saying that, and we wouldn't be here without all of you. Thank you to Heritage Radio Network, all of the audio engineers, Greg, Kong, all the PR people who have made this happen, and everyone who's ever sat down to listen. We really appreciate it, and here's to 600 more. For today's episode, thought I'd do a little something different and did a recorded roundtable all the way up in Homer, Alaska. We sat down with Mandy and Kirsten Dixon, one of the families of Alaska who are showing off the local cuisine in new, exciting ways. We talk about growing up there, the food they are highlighting, and bringing the world to them. Mix in there is a duo, Luna and Ursus. They play some great folk-inspired Alaska-style music, and they share a bunch of live songs with us and a couple of stories to go with it. So thank you to everyone. Here we go. Snacky Tunes, live on HRN.
It's well, it's all right. Dreaming about tomorrow. It's time to find it's all that gets me through the day.
I'm so excited to be sitting down for our very first Alaskan conversation. I feel like I'm part of the community because we're doing things a little bit differently today. We're having the chef and the band together coming from your house. Thank you all for sitting down for Snacky Tunes. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
We really haven't ever chatted about Alaska, not by any lack of wanting to, just it's sitting in its own world at times, and yet is still connected to the food and so many of the themes of the music that we see in LA and New York. And we get this big sense of community up there, but I feel like community has a much deeper meaning up there, given a little bit of that remoteness. What do people up there think about community? What does it mean to you guys? How does it all relate together?
Well, you know, here in Alaska, we haven't been a state even for that long of a period of time. And many people have moved to Alaska within their own lifetime from somewhere else. So many of us are displaced from a history of family. And so we create our own family. We create our own sort of community culture here to be able to bond together and spend time together. We create our own traditions. Mandy and I always cook crab on New Year's Eve, for example. Mm. Well, that's not part of my family history, but because we have the creative opportunity to reinvent ourselves as community and as family, we're able to do that here.
I mean, it's such a beautiful thing. And Kirsten, you've been up there the longest or been active the longest.
Okay, Derek, I'm the oldest here.
I'm not saying the oldest. I'm just saying you've been active the longest of running businesses and things like that up there. And your family were a bit of pioneers of just helping bring and shine this spotlight on, I'll say, the Alaskan experience. But like, what is that? If you were to define what it is to go up to Homer, Alaska, to really dig in, I'm not talking cruises, I'm talking getting the land, eating the food, listening to the music, being with the people. What's it like? And why was your family drawn to it?
Well, all four of us here at this table live quite close to the natural world. And we all deeply appreciate the opportunity to be in a place where there's still great natural world that it's intact and non-developed and non-polluted. We have clean air here. We have good soil here. We have good water here. And that's really more of a luxury these days anywhere on the planet practically. So I think we feel like we live with such a great abundance and luxury of living close to the natural world.
Now, Michelle and Joshua, being that close to the natural world, does that have a different influence on the music you make and the art you create? Are you pulling inspiration for that? How do you see what you're making up here tied back to where you live?
For me personally, I think the biggest thing is just that spending time in nature and beautiful natural surroundings, it really feeds my soul. It's not necessarily that I'm like writing about the mountains or the trees all the time, but mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of gems that come when you spend time in the quiet and the stillness of the natural surroundings. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be about those things specifically, but you can just tap into a deeper part of yourself when you're connected in that space, I think.
I mean, being connected to the land and relying on each other is such a beautiful and sometimes lost part of what it means to grow up when you're cooking or when you're making music, being with art. And Mandy, you were really born into this. Take us back to your childhood. What was it like growing up? Did you think that this was normal, such the wrong word, but like, you're like, oh, like this, my family's involved and we have people and we host people and I cook and I'm with my parents and things like that. Like, what was it like growing up? And what do you remember of that time?
Well, for me, I grew up on a remote fishing river, and my parents started a lodge on this river. So I was running around barefoot in the mud, playing with fish guts. But we also
classic childhood, just like everyone else, totally get it.
But we did have a large garden. We grew our own vegetables. My mother is a chef, and we had professional chefs in our kitchen. So I did have that luxury of growing up learning from chefs from all over the world that came into our little log cabin kitchen on the river in Alaska to cook. And so, you know, I think I'm spoiled in that regard, that I've grown up eating wild salmon and organic vegetables, and that's the norm. For us here in Alaska, and wild berries. But it was a really beautiful childhood. I highly recommend it.
She says that now, but you know, when she was it was a little different story. she actually she graduated from homeschool, you know, class of one, right, top of her class. But then she hopped into her, you know, the minute it was 17 years old, she hopped into her little car she like demanded we buy for her, and she zoomed off and she went to LA and she went to culinary school in Los Angeles. But we were very thankful that she came back. But she
you know, it's interesting when you grow up in something like this and then you get out into the world about how it pulls you back in. Is there something about that remoteness and that self, you know, sustaining type of, you know, having your own farm, fishing, things like that, people coming to you more than going out into the world and feeling adrift, knowing that like being at home is offering like a comfort and an anchor that you can grow and go deeper in that?
I hope everybody in the world finds and knows their place, right? Their place. This is my place. Mandy and I recently traveled to Scandinavia, and it was beautiful. We loved our trip. I could live the rest of my life here in this one place and be happy because this is my place. And I think a lot of people feel that way about Alaska. I hope people feel that way about wherever they live, that they're deeply attached to the physical place where they're living, because that does, it does anchor a person. It does give them a sense of, I don't know, balance in life to try to know the trees and know the landscape of where they are.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, I would say, understand some of the food exports and knowing like the beauty and the mountains of Alaska and knowing that place. Michelle and Joshua, I'd love to know a little bit more about the music and the arts. You know, what did you grow up with? What did you listen to? What were big influences from your childhood when it comes to the sounds and creativeness of Homer?
Well, I grew up, I'm Scottish, so I grew up on Scottish folk music, and then we emigrated to Australia, so then I was immersed in beach culture, and that was very different music, and then I ended up moving to LA to go to music school, so I was sort of in the mixing pot as far as music goes, and I feel like Alaska has a bit of a mixing pot with music as well, because there's so many different people that come here, and they bring all of those genres with them. So I feel like the influence has been pretty broad, and I feel like we're very open to bringing all those different types of music into our own blend of the music that we create.
Yeah. Kirsten, you sort of talked about that people wind up or move to Alaska and they bring, you know, I assume when all these different people come there, they wind up bringing a little bit of everything, as Michelle mentioned, like you bring this with you and you put it back out into the community. Do you find the same way with food? Is it a melting pot, or is it more of a singular type of culinary approach?
Well, so, you know, 40 years ago, I would say that Alaska cuisine was a little, you know, something a little bit different than what it is today. Mm. But, you know, historically, we really lean into bits and pieces of the historic culture that we have here in Alaska. We have a lot of Russian influence in our cuisine. We have a certain amount of Asian influence because Alaska is the closest U.S. Point to Asia, and we share the Pacific Ocean, and we share resources in terms of, you know, particular seafood. So we do have an Asian thread that runs through our cuisine. We have a certain amount of kind of homesteader, gold miner vibe in our cuisine because a lot of people live with freedom, right? We live with a lot of freedom here. And with that, sometimes comes the responsibility to care for ourselves. So we preserve food. We don't waste food. We preserve fish and we gather our own fish in the summertime and preserve it for the winter, et cetera. So I think we're, you know, like kind of more can-do people in that regard. And the weather's quite harsh here in the winter. So we have to have some preparation for that. So thinking of, like, you know, beans and sourdough bread and, you know, these sort of pioneery kind of things run through our cuisine as well. And now we have a lot of young people moving to Alaska. We have people that are creating really beautiful farms. Farming is difficult work in Alaska because there's a weather and seasonal extremes. But we have a lot of people that are growing really beautiful produce and even fruits. And so we live with quite a good abundance. And now in this day and age, I think people appreciate that historic cuisine more so than they might have, you know, 40 years ago. So if you went to a fancy restaurant in Anchorage, for example, 40 years ago, you might not see foraged food on the plate, or you might not see wild berries being used in the same way. I mean, that's true for anywhere you go.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to get to our first song, which is going to be Give It All. Michelle and Josh, what's the story behind this song?
So this is one that we came up with on a recent trip to Mexico. And basically, we had rented a car on Priceline, and we got down there and there was something screwy with the agency, and they were going to charge us like thousands of dollars more than what we had anticipated paying. And so anyway, our plans just totally changed. We were thinking, oh, we're just going to do the, like, sort of the tourist thing, you know, we'll go here, we'll cross all these cool places off our checklist, you know. But what it ended up being was we were immersed in the slow-paced lifestyle of Mexico, which is just very people-oriented, no rush to get anywhere, always time for conversation, always time for beer, just to chat and sit and be with people. And so the first line of the song is, how do we know we're alive and living life to the fullest? And that was sort of just what I was contemplating about how it was so much better that we ended up getting that experience than the one that we had planned on.
Beautiful. All right, well, here we go. Give It All, live on Snacky Tunes here on HRN.
How do we know we're alive? living life to the fullest, every moment, doors open, keep your head up so you can see where you're going. Opportunities may come in strange and subtle ways. The blessings in our lives may look different than we think. Can we give? Give it all, give it all away. What if we give? Give it all, give it all away. How do we know what price to put upon a smile? A penny for your thoughts, a dollar for your time. Do we lie? What society prescribes with peace of mind. And can we give? Give it all, give it all away. What if we give? Give it all, give it all. Rediscover the fullness of life, all of its wonders. So many colors we've been given to create. I pray I recognize the beauty in the many forms it takes. Help me give. Give it all, give it all away. What if we
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. That was just Give It All by Una and Ursus. And I want to talk, go back a little bit. Kirsten, you mentioned that Mandy 17 hops on the car, goes to LA. Mandy, what brought you there? Because I know that you went there to cook in culinary school, but I mean, to be honest, you know, you had this great food, lodge, business thing going on at home. Why go to LA? What brought you overall more than just being like, I want to just try something different?
Well, first of all, I wanted to go to culinary school. Growing up with my mom as a chef and growing up in the kitchen, I did want to learn more about cooking. I didn't know if it was going to be my career or my life path, but I did want to have that kind of, you know, standard base to cooking. And so I knew I wanted to go to cooking school, but also I was 17 and I had grown up my whole life in remote Alaska. There were a couple other families that lived on the river with kids my age. And all of us, we wanted to get out. We wanted to see the world. We, you know, thought we would never live in Alaska as adults. And all of those kids have returned to Alaska. So, you know, it was a really eye-opening experience. I loved LA. I also lived in Napa Valley and San Francisco area and worked in amazing restaurants there, had a great experience. But I did find this calling to go back to Alaska and just the realization of how special Alaska is and how unique the cuisine of Alaska is. And everybody was asking, you know, what is the food like there? And, sure. You know, I really realized I need to be part of showing the world what Alaska cuisine is.
But even in being a place, because I know that you worked for the Thomas Keller Group and, you know, they have their own farms and they're growing and their own produce and they're locally sourcing.
Yes.
Was it just not the same as Alaska, even though it's similar in ethos? What was the biggest difference that you saw?
I think living in Napa Valley was very similar to Alaska
sure.
in some weird way. And it was very comfortable living there. I loved it. The company I worked for was amazing and just a wonderful experience. But I think, you know, it was California cuisine. You know, it didn't feel like my cuisine necessarily. I mean, I learned so much from them with techniques the list, you know, goes forever. But, you know, I really wanted to get back home to, you know, this wild place that I'm from and be, you know, I'm very proud of the food that this area produces and the farmers produce here. And, it's really spectacular. And so I really wanted to be part of, you know, showing the world that.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. and my parents, right? And my parents and my family. You know, being this ambassador to Alaska is such a great thing. And I found that so many people have now been like, I want to show my roots, that I want to show where I'm from. Michelle and Joshua, how do you feel about being music ambassadors? Like, what is the story you're trying to tell about music? And, you know, that's obviously a little bit easier to share from such a place because, you know, you can put it up online or share it like that. But what are you trying to do when you put your music out in the world? What are you trying to say and show about the local music scene?
You know, Alaska's pretty far away from the rest of the U.S. or the lower 48, as we call it. So we can get our own blend together. And, you know, music is used as community, and that's what we want to emphasize is community. A lot of us, like myself, I don't have any family in Alaska. Josh doesn't have any family in Alaska. So we choose our family. Our people choose us to be in their family. And the music is just part of it. The music is a way to express like love and appreciation for this beautiful place and for the people that are in our lives that, you know, some people I have more in common with and love just about more than my own family. You know, you don't have all that family baggage, you know?
Yes.
So, and, you know, just bringing Alaskan music to the rest of the country, it's just different. It's fresh. We don't have all of the influences that other people have. You know, we're just, you know, we wake up and we're like, oh, wow, there's that moose again in the driveway. You know, I mean, that's what I'm not dealing with noisy neighbors. I'm dealing with moose and bears and, you know, oh, wow, it's snowing. I won't go anywhere today. I may as well play music, you know, the relaxed lifestyle and just being truly in touch with the essence of who you are. And I think living in nature allows you to experience that. And it comes out in the music of, hey, we're all beautiful. We're all loved. We're all family. This is our home. And we like to give positive messages, you know? And it's easy to do when you live in this environment.
It's beautiful. Speaking of choosing your family and your people, how did you two meet and decide that you wanted to do music? How did you choose each other to be each other's creative partner?
Ironically, we met in 2020, like at the height of the pandemic. We were both invited individually to play for a virtual concert. during the winter solstice that year. And actually, you know, Michelle, I don't think she really wanted to have anything to do with me when we first met. Part of this group of ladies called the Sisters of Avalon. There was four of them, and two of the sisters had invited me to play with them that year. And she's saying, well, we're the Sisters of Avalon. Where does a guy fit into that whole picture?
Sure. Fair, you know? Fair question.
But, you know, as it evolved, I think we just, you know, as relationships of any kind do, you just notice that you have a chemistry. You know how to communicate with each other. You know where the other person's going. And you feel like the other person inspires you to take your craft in a different direction and keep moving it forward. So I think that was something that we both really helped each other to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's always so interesting when you find people who pick each other creatively and it works and it's sustainable and you create things. You know, Mandy and Kirsten, you're obviously related and born to work together, but you're still working together after all these years. I'd love to know a little bit about how you two work together, how you work with the family. What are the different properties that you have? Because you have quite a few businesses and quite a different touch points for the community when it comes to food and tourism and hosting and things like that.
Well, sometimes, you know, people can be a little surprised when Mandy sort of, you know, bitches me out in the kitchen and, you know, says naughty things to me. But then they realize that I'm not out of control of my employee. She's family. And then they understand. I get that. I understand that. But it's been super fun for me. I never pressured Mandy to be a chef or even go to culinary school. But when she was in culinary school, I just loved it because I got her a little book that she was working from, and I'd look at the little recipes they were doing. You know, I mean, I was just like a total like helicopter mom during that period. I really enjoyed it. And then, and of course, you know, I was super proud of her to work with. She was able to work with such great chefs, and I was really happy when she came home. So we have, all four of us have the opportunity to have a creative life. And Mandy and I have a creative relationship that is different than a mother-daughter relationship, right? We share interest and we share opportunities to grow and improve and change. And I come from definitely an old school kind of education and way I do things. And Mandy has done things much differently. Like, you know, all the stupid stuff.
Mandy, you'll have a chance to rebut.
Sous vide this, sous vide that, okay, whatever, right? Why don't you just like cook it, Mandy? But you know, we share a lot of ideas back and forth. And that's, you know, really this living close to this natural world that we're talking about, Derek, is the bond that all four of us have. The natural world allows, I think you've heard too, that going out in nature is good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. It's good for everything, right? So we have that in similarity with each other. We're all being able to live our best creative lives.
And Mandy, I have to imagine though that you go out, you do learn some of these more modern techniques of cooking, and then you bring them back to this. I don't want to say traditional, but, you know, this box of Alaskan cooking that has certain practices and things like that. How are you able to take what you learned, filter out like maybe some of the stuff that didn't work, but then push the cuisine to a further level? So it still felt recognizable, but a new take on it.
Yeah. I mean, we just spent, you know, 20 days or so in Denmark and in Spain and learning from the greats of the world.
Sure.
And, you know, we took from that what we wanted and what we thought was appropriate, you know, to work in our setting. So we're always learning, you know, we're constantly learning, of course. And our cuisine is evolving as well. And so we want it to be very authentic and true to our location on this earth. And so we are not trying to be pretentious and, you know, do cuisine that maybe they are doing in Denmark or in, you know, urban areas.
Sure.
But we, you know, do utilize certain, you know, techniques that, you know, we recently learned some really cool, you know, whole fish cookery techniques that we hadn't thought about before, pressure cooking the bones and making them into crackers. And, you know, so of course we're always learning from all this, you know, urban chefs. But so we own, our family owns Tutka Bay Lodge, which is across the bay from Homer, which there we do upscale, more modern Alaskan cuisine. And we have Labeline Cafe, which is in the harbor here in Homer, that is Alaskan comfort food. And then we do some cooking classes up at our farm. So those are our three properties. And they all have a little bit of a different style of cooking. But it all really bases back to very localized, you know, showcasing the seafood and the vegetables and the meat from this area.
That's amazing. And the through line is you as well, the family.
Yes. and the story, for
and
sure.
The story. Oh, sorry. What were we going to say?
I think one of the things we always tell, Mandy always tells her chefs that come to work for her, is that everything on the plate, everything we do should mean something, right? It should mean something to us and be part of telling that story. And that way, you know, we're creatively crafting our story to share with our guests in the same way that Michelle and Josh is crafting their music to share with their listeners. And it's a way that we communicate, right? It's like writing a piece of poetry or something. So it all has to mean something to us, and we have to feel something about it, or it will feel displaced on the plate or on the menu. It'll feel less, you know, feel kind of, we've all gone to restaurants where we've sat down and eaten something. We could tell that the person cooking didn't have any sort of right.
Like, what is this doing here? It's a nice carrot, but I don't get what it. Why? Speaking of music, songs, storytelling, let's get to another one. I believe the next song is "Letting Go." What's the story behind this one?
Letting go. Oh, that's a song about letting go of this. The stories we tell ourselves of who we are, we can let go of, you know, the story of ourselves. We can become whoever we want, and we can rise and become a better version of ourselves, and just let go of those things that are no longer serving us and that are bogging us down. And that's what the song's about.
Beautiful. All right, here we go. Letting Go live from Luna and Ursus here on Snacky Tunes on HRN.
Slide along all too long, living like life would be better if I was somebody else. I have a hard time getting where I'm going, and it's so rare I ask for help. Thought I knew what was good for me, had to stop there and think again. Letting go of who I thought I was, so I can get on who I am. I see my place written in the stars, it's got my name on. Come a long way, I've done yet, but I can say I'm proud. I see my place written in the stars, it's got my name on. Come a long way, I've done yet, but I can say I'm proud. I can say I'm proud. Spent a long while too long making this life a means to an end. Happiness where I'm getting to, it's not where I begin. Spent a long while too
long living without being my own friend. I didn't go who I thought I was so I could get on who I am. I see my place written in the stars, it's got my name on it. Come a long way, I'm done, yeah, but I can say I'm proud. I see my place written in the stars, it's got my name on it. Come a long way, I'm done, yeah, but I can say I'm proud of me. And now I all the things that I've let go. Come a long way, come a long way, come a long way. I see my place written in the stars, it's got my name on it. Come a long way, I'm done, yeah, but I can say I'm proud. I see my place written in the stars, it's got my name on it. Come a long way, I'm done, yeah, but I can say I'm proud of you. I can say I'm proud of how much I've grown. I didn't go who I thought I was, so I can get a hold of who I am.
Gather your friends and family at the second annual Catskill Cuisine Festival, presented by the Sullivan Catskills Visitors Association, Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, and Resorts World Catskills. Mark your calendars for a flavor-packed weekend from May 10th to May 12th. Experience the fusion of phenomenal food and electrifying entertainment. Rub shoulders with your favorite Food Network personalities, including Andrew Zimmern, Michael Simon, Scott Conant, Marcus Samuelson, Jeffrey Zakarian, Anne Burrell, Melba Wilson, and distinguished international chefs by LaBelle Farms. Kick off the festivities with Friday's star-studded golf tournament and evening reception. Saturday heats up with free tastings, thrilling live demos, music, and family activities, culminating with a gourmet dinner hosted by celebrity chefs. And on Sunday, celebrate Mother's Day with a special celebrity-curated brunch. Tickets for this celebration are selling like hotcakes. Visit Catskill-Cuisine.com to grab your pass for this unforgettable weekend in the picturesque Catskills. See you there!
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We have Mandy and Kirsten Dixon and Luna and Ursus all sitting to us in from Homer, Alaska, and before the break, Mandy, you were talking about the different businesses you have and the restaurants. One of them was La Baleine Cafe, which is the newest one, I believe, to open. And it's sitting, you know, in Homer. It's offering a new sense of gathering community. Why did you want to open it? What was important to you? When you had these other gathering spots, what did you want to do with this spot?
Well, my family, my whole life has owned remote lodges.
Sure. And so, as one does.
And we have never really been in the public that way or in the community, you know, showcasing our cuisine to the public. So we, you know, purchased Tutka Bay Lodge many years ago, and we felt like we needed a place in the community of Homer to stay connected with that community. and you know, showcase. We're just so proud of the farmers here, and Homer is just a small fishing village of a few thousand people, and we produce the most amazing produce and meat products, and of course the wild seafood. And so we wanted a place where we could serve the public and serve the community of Homer, and have a place where Homer, you know, Homer residents could go and see their product, you know, turned into, you know, a delicious meal. And so the harbor is very vibrant. It's a working fishing harbor. So there's like, you know, commercial fishing boats, you know, doing their thing. There's, it's very active and very lively. And so our small little cafe only has 25 seats. But it serves Alaskan comfort food and breakfast and lunch. So we have tourists and locals alike equally that come into the cafe. And the tourists really love that. They love sitting next to the crusty fishermen, you know, having breakfast or, you know, having a bowl of soup or something. And it's just really fun. And we love to have live music there. And we're going to have, you know, game nights this summer. You know, we just love to be a part of the community in that way.
When did you introduce live music there? Why did you want to have that be a part of the vibe?
Well, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago now. We started doing live music. Again, this is a tiny little restaurant. But, you know, music is such an important part of this community. There's so many music festivals in the summer here and, in the area, and there's so many talented musicians and creators in general, artists and woodworkers, and we want to showcase it all. And so even though we have a small footprint out there in the harbor, we, you know, love to showcase all that Homer offers, you know, not just food.
Of course. I mean, I travel to eat, but it's always great when you can be like, oh, I'll get a meal and some culture and some community and some music. Yeah. Michelle and Josh, when did you first hear about the cafe and, you know, what's it like booking shows up there? How often are you playing in Homer? Are you traveling around? And were you excited to be able to, you know, play for a hometown crowd as well?
Well, it was a few years ago we found about the cafe. I think it was Mandy reached out to us and we played there. Oh, you were, had one of your books that was...
Edible Alaska.
Yeah, we played for that. And it was great. I mean, the food was fantastic, but it all had that Alaskan thing. You know, it wasn't fancy stuff that we can't identify what it is. You know, we're like, oh, there's salmon, there's, you know, there's roe, there's fresh blueberries and halibut. And so you can, you know what you're eating, and it's just done in a way that we would never prepare it. You know, it was way fancier. So it was, that was super fun. And it was just a fun crowd. You know, it's a, just a nice, lively little cafe, and everyone's very attentive and happy in there. And we had a great time, and we love playing around to the local crowd. We don't play here a lot. We travel all over Alaska, and we would like to play in the lower 48 too. But we do play in Homer like every couple of months just to, you know, keep the local crowd happy, keep our connection.
Yeah. It's spring now, you know, mid-spring. Summer is coming. So
Derek, it's snowing. We're looking at a big window and it's snowing outside here.
Okay, so summer's coming in a few months. Set the scene for me. You're out on the patio, kitchen's humming, you know, the band's playing. What's the feeling of being at the cafe?
Well, the cafe sits in the harbor, and it sits on a spit of land. And so it's a natural forming spit of land that goes out into a bay. It's from an old receded glacier that left land that goes out into the bay. And the bay, Kachemak Bay, is surrounded by large mountains that go straight into the ocean and glaciers. And the bay is very healthy and has tons of fish and marine wildlife, and whales are leaping out of the water. And a cafe looks out onto this amazing view. And so, you know, the harbor lights are shining and the cafe's bustling and the harbor itself is active and alive. And, you know, the music's playing and, you know, people are eating food that came from this place. They are eating seafood from that bay and, you know, vegetables from the hillside here. And, you know, it's just, it really is an all-accompanying experience of what Homer, you know, is. And so you're listening to music from this area, you know, dining on food from this area, and then looking out at this, you know, one of the most beautiful places on earth for sure.
Now, while this might sound like a little bit of a secret, you have been recognized by the James Beard Award for hospitality, which is incredible because, I mean, the world isn't as remote as it used to be, but you're definitely out there. What was it like to be recognized for this, doing what you believe in a part of the world that is not LA, Seattle, Chicago, things like that, and saying like, yeah, the years of work, the family tradition, everything we put into this, people see what we're trying to do up here?
It was certainly like mildly shocking at first. You know, we are this, you know, 25 seat cafe in the harbor of Homer, Alaska. But it was very much a proud moment. We're humbled by being, you know, in that list of amazing places in the world or in the US. And, you know, I just think that we believe in it and we stand behind that, nomination. And so we're very proud. And, you know, the community, when that came out, the community, you know, kind of came up behind us too and said, yes, you know, like you guys do deserve this. And, we agree with that. And, so it was very much a proud moment for our small, very small cafe. We're just totally humbled by it. And yeah, it was great.
It's beautiful. Well, listen, I want to make sure we have enough time for one more song, but let's do all the paperwork and shout outs before we go. If people want to visit any of your properties or follow along to see what you're doing, where can they go? How can they see what you're up to?
They can go to our website, which is www.withinthewild.com. We have a Instagram, social media pages are at Within the Wild. And La Baleen Cafe is labaleencafe.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you both so much. Michelle and Joshua, if people want to listen to the music, where can they go? How can they see where you're playing and tour dates? And I'm sure once the blizzard passes, you'll be back on the road traveling all over Alaska.
You can find out all about us on lunaursusmusic.com, and then it's Luna Ursus Music on all social media.
Amazing. Well, thank you all. This last live song you're playing for us is Shekinah. What's the story behind it?
So the word Shekinah comes from the Judaic lineage, and it's about the feminine aspect of the indwelling quality of the divine. And it's just essentially about the magic moments that come about when we're truly present in life with each other, with our surroundings. Sort of similar to what I was saying before, just like when we really tap into exactly where we are we find that there's more there than what we previously thought.
Beautiful. Well, thank you all for being here and present with me. Really appreciate it. Big thank you to Jesse for helping to set this all up. Hopefully one day I'll be flying straight up direct from LAX to Homer. Here we go. One last live song from Luna and Ursa's Shekinah here on Snacky Tunes on HRN. We'll see you next time.
Our hearts, feel it in the bones, feel it in the flow, in the rhythm of the ocean. There between us is the spark of creation. We're making something new. Shekinah. Of desire, these bodies we illuminate. Shekinah, 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 oh, Shekinah.
Tunes is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.